Thank you, Philip Randolph. We'll be seeing you again with the horn, the mighty, mighty horn. Sounds like everybody's been catching up with their drinking and general merriment, which is good. We have two more readers here tonight before we move on to the collaboratory, which is back up the street on Rainier. Next up is Justine Chan, who hails from Chicago and holds an MFA in prose from the University of Washington here. She earned her BA from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in English and creative writing. Her work has appeared in Beecher's Magazine, the Redline Anthology, Midwestern Gothic, and others. Her nonfiction has recently been nominated for the Pushcart. She is also a singer, songwriter, and a busker, and a generally awesome adventurer. Everybody, welcome Justine.
My name is Kit Tucker, and I exist in sound. I know this because I ran into a blind saxophone player standing on a patch of blue salt on the side of the snowy streets near the Picasso playing Girl from Ipanema, and he stopped and said, "Hey, I think I know you from somewhere. I know that voice." He was old and parched in a patched-up suit with sunglasses over his eyes and a fedora on his head, and I think he was God. Only God has that sort of taste in fashion, humble and bare bones in that raspy, delicious gospel voice. I don't believe in God or Jesus, really, but I don't believe either of them would wear sandals. This is Chicago, I would tell him. But I don't think I was even talking with him to begin with. I think I was talking to myself, the way I always do when I'm walking back to the train by myself, and I might have gone quiet the way I do when I approach people. Not that I care what they think, but I care that they might hear my thoughts and try to psychoanalyze me, because everyone tries to and I'm flattered, but guys, I'm only one person, and I try not to be lonely. That is why I talk to myself. I don't know if God knows that, but I would have liked to take God out to dinner at a really expensive and fancy restaurant, like Katsu. He would have had to tuck away his saxophone into a green velvet-lined case, and I would have been very happy thinking of that metal staying warm in the velvet. I would have bought him a CTA card if he didn't have one already, and we would have had to ride the bus or the subway. At least the true L stations in the open air have little standing pockets with a heat lamp blazing above where God and I could hover and stay warm. But the more exciting thing is actually sitting next to God or standing next to him while we rock and lean in these rattling metal boxes leaking steam and clanging through tunnels. It doesn't matter if a bus or subway, I think. I am not so partial. But when we get to a nondescript strip of small restaurants, I will know we're close, and I'll let God pull the yellow cord for our step or whatever makes him feel happy, and we will sit right at the sushi bar where I ordinarily would not sit, but that is the only place to sit at Katsu. Even if God is not really God and just a blind, homeless old man who plays the saxophone, he will like sitting at the bar because Katsu, the man himself, will be there making the sushi just beyond reach and sight. At the right angle, though, you can watch the sharp knives slice through spreads of fish, the red and white meats like butter. Everything is a sleek black from the wood of the bar to the plates and the cups all faintly lit behind Katsu. There is something secret and sweet sitting so close to the fish. I will order the combo plate, one for each of us, and Katsu will nod approvingly, and God will nod approvingly, but I will wonder if either of them is real. If I am sitting by myself in Katsu because I do not want to go home to my wife. But that moment will pass, and God will work steadily, muttering in Japanese to his assistant, and his wife will pour green tea and sake for the both of us all the while. Katsu's wife is beautiful, but I will not tell her that because God is there, not saying much. I will want to hear his voice, every cadence and tin can shoestring sound, but I will not know the right questions. There are too many questions, and God is hungry. And Katsu will reach over the counter with small rectangular plates for each of us, 6 pieces of sushi in a neat row. They will glisten, soft and bright and colorful, with gold flakes sprinkled on each one. The waiter will breeze by to explain each of the pieces, how the soft shell shrimp is to be eaten. Watch me first pinch off the head and legs, but all of it can be eaten. How the raw oyster came from Seattle, how the kaya came from Maine, and whatever, and whatever, and I will be happy thinking about God, thinking about sushi with gold flakes. God and I will set aside the unwieldy chopsticks, pick up the sushi in our fingers, let each piece sit in our mouths. All of it will be exquisite, sliding down our throats splendidly. Katsu will ask how the sushi is, and God will smile, patting his stomach, and that is all this world needs. I will pretend to barter with God, trying not to let him pay when he does not offer to, and it will be a grand fortune. But I will not mind. I will tip generously. I will order another round of sake. God will take small sips. I will tell Katsu his wife is beautiful, and I will never go home again, and God will forgive me. God will forgive me for everything. God will forgive me for not shaking his hand or even lifting my head and saying, all is well.
Okay. I have some.
This one's called Slayer, and it's after Anne Hamilton's Common Sense exhibit that was at the Henry Art Museum. You sing, Slayed, how I long to touch you through the rustling pages, curl of claws and paws that touched earth, or tree closer, touch through the blur behind you as though you were my tusk hummingbirds, without your limbs cracked into place, to rest stiff as the dead they believe you should be. Eyes milky white beads are sunken dark and forgotten, tearing a tear, or how can you sleep so, sleep cold beside me so, and keep the night warm with silky belly down, the color of burnt sun with brown speckles, the color of a creature brined up in twilight, the blur rising in crooked wings, brittler than any arrow made of beaks, a poison that rubbed off my fingertips, the fists that pulled out my hair, Slayer. Your little mouth was made to carry shut, singing tiny shut. This is to be real. I noticed my tail is missing today, and little dabs of white fluff from the snowing trees speckle the still water into a river universe. And a flock of swallows wink white-bellied in flight, changing directions. I don't know where I've been all day to retrace my steps walking backwards, owl-headed, through the green, seeking, or how it fell off in the first place, if someone is keeping it this time. It's not the first, but I thought if I could build a raft, I'd be in New Orleans by now, sipping jazz and a daiquiri from a slurping machine shooting for oblivion. But no, it was not even a nice tail, not feathered, not soft and tasseled, not the scaly kind that slowly grows back, but the kind that falls off no matter how you tie or glue or stitch it. I was out late at night on the lake watching for the aurora with binoculars, rocking and reciting poems that felt like garbled wishes to myself, but nothing. I would just lie here, if that's okay. If all rivers lead to the ocean, if this someone, what a coincidence, comes back and knocks on my door with my tail in hand, coiled up like a cut-off ear and cotton in a nice little box. Why, thank you, I'd say, if I was awake. You shouldn't have. You really, really shouldn't have. I've been checking all the stitches on my wrists and neck and arms and legs, but the light still shines through the seams, clattering loose, so this wouldn't happen again, I swear. This next one is called Ornament Joy. Only the whale is meant to see the whale etched into the wood of the bow. For you, before the sharp harpoon plunges, thrown so over the icy cold waves and sea ice into the whale, a beast of rib bones, blood, meat, and oil for you, and it has no choice in the matter of this gift, or how its mouth would be sewn shut to bloat to shore with the boats from the great division once on land, my captain, in all this ornament joy, and I worry for you, with the dog's jaws around smaller throats, and I etch its ancient mammoth heart into my own heart, eating myself from the lungs, still in this hunt for you, if it is enough. I got one more for you. This last one is called Evolved. When we traded scales for feathers, larger loomed moons and larger insects, it was in the air, but the small, the sternum in this delicate cage of ribs remained. The skin of my chest stretches still so thin, it all begs to be beat and crushed. I cannot understand or hide this reptilian need to grasp small living things in talon, snugly, firmly, so they will not be afraid, whatever comes, so that one day I might be held this way, unafraid. Be good, I tell my lovebirds when I leave, so the tucked dark crawl space of the basement will not be a sonata of empty cages. Be good, but they don't always listen. I would listen to the stories of Raven, how the world was made contained in sweet-smelling cedar boxes clattering open, how Raven stole the sun. If someone would tell me, look what I have done, what have I done, be good, be good. I will come back, just not the way I was supposed to be. There will always be something left behind I cannot find with these eyes on the sides of my head, no matter how I turn, whatever comes here last. Thank you.